Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from New York, it's me. And Esty's in Los Angeles.
And who, I know, I'm still in LA. Do you know how badly I wanted to go to New York to see LC Fest with you?
Aww, that's very kind of you.
Badly. I saw it all over Instagram and TikTok all weekend.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, thanks Instagram and TikTok.
There was one really funny video of a guy who attended who wanted to get on stage. So he was like, it was like his way of being like, I'm auditioning for LC Fest from the audience.
Oh, amazing. I haven't even gotten a chance to look through everything yet. That thing I dudes and dudettes and doers. Welcome back. Darren Criss here, live from New York City.
Esty Haim.
Esty Haim from her.
Live from the Valley.
From Alice. Live from the Valley. As if you guys would have it any other way. We're talking about LC Fest, which was... So I started a festival in 2015 that, you know, we talk about festivals a lot on this show, and by no means is LC Fest on the level of some of those bigger rock festivals, multiple stages, multiple days, huge, you know, brand activations, just massive multi-million dollar festivals. This is not that. Who knows, maybe one day, but it's more of just like a lineup, you know, a festival of a lot of different people, but in a fixed space. And you know, I'm wearing a couple different hats when I do this thing because I wouldn't recommend it to anybody because you have to produce it, you have to curate it, you're playing it, you're kind of the face of it, so you're doing press for it. It takes a lot out of me and is probably one of the most hectic times of year for me, which is why we didn't have time to get a guest this week. So it's just me and Esty.
And that's okay because we have a lot to debrief.
That's okay. We have a lot to debrief on. And honestly, the time that I spent on getting guests... was the time that I spent getting performers, like guests at LC Fest. So
right.
I think I triaged correctly. I needed to get that festival going. And it was our triumphant return because we weren't around last year.
Yep.
And we moved to Prospect Park and I thought it went quite well. But it's hard for me, Esty, because I'm doing all the backstage stuff. So
yes.
You know, I don't know about you, but like when you play festivals or even, you know, some kind of even like a fundraiser or something where there's maybe two or just another performer, I always feel bad because you meet them backstage and you hang out. It's a great hang, but you don't always get to see the acts. And I make it my business to go for Elsie to all the rehearsals so I can see what they're doing. And I can feel part of what they're doing because on the day it's logistically impossible for me to like sit and enjoy the festival. So I actually don't really get to know how the audience experiences it. You know, I kind of have to collect information to do, CSI. What are they called?
Yes.
What was that called? What's the word I'm looking for?
Crime scene investigators.
You have to do forensics.
You feel like you need to go back and look at some data.
Yeah, and see what's going on and see how it went. All this to say, knowing that somebody was having a good time auditioning for their thing at LC. Is but a small piece of okay. It sounds like people were having fun.
A lot of people were having fun. It's such a great idea, and especially because Broadway still isn't
slowly
open.
Slowly coming back.
Or is it coming back this month?
It's slowly coming back. It's, there's so many different shows that have a lot of different moving targets, but I know a lot of bigger shows are opening like this fall, winter. I know my buddy's opening in Company in December. And I think Dear Evan Hansen's coming back in December as well. So there's a lot of shows. Like there's definitely a reopening happening. I know that Sarah Bareilles is back in rehearsal for
Waitress. Saw that.
Yes, there's a lot. It's all starting up again. So, you know, we did it a little earlier than we usually do. We did it in like, you know, what is it? Late August as opposed to late September. Very hot, very muggy.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of people
New York
still out of
summer.
Town. Oh, yeah. Where you can cut the air with like a knife.
It's like living in a hairdryer.
Oh, man. That's exactly right? what it is. Yeah. And every now and then you're just like, when the gusts of wind, the warm gusts of wind happen, you're like, oh, yes, wind. Mm. But oh, no, heat.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Me too.
I love New York summer.
I think it's 'cause we're not from there.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
People always say, oh, gross, how could you stand? I'm like, you don't understand. It like feels foreign and magical.
Yeah, we don't have that in LA. It's heat, but it's a different kind of heat.
Yeah, it's a dry heat. And probably arguably better for you heat, but you know.
I mean.
It's not wet heat.
Talk about forensics. We should probably get some data on that before we say that to our listeners.
What kind of heat?
What kind of heat is better than the other?
I don't know. I do know that back in the day, like, I mean, for talk about dry heat, I know that whether you're from New York or Los Angeles, I know that people back in like probably the early part of the 20th century would get sent out to the desert. I think we mentioned this when we had our little episode in the desert, how people used to have to isolate or like quarantine in the desert for like asthmatic reasons.
Oh.
Because of the air quality and the dry air. You know, people would have to relocate if they had like problems with their respiratory system. So
that makes sense.
There's something to that. Yeah.
Give me the dry heat. Give me all the heat. I love the summer. Today is technically, now it is officially no longer summer, right? Because it's September.
Really? Oh, because it's September? I don't follow. I don't know how that shit works. It's very confusing to me.
I think we're officially in fall. I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure.
I mean, it is September.
You know? And you know what? I don't hate that either because in LA especially, I think it gets even hotter in September than it does in August and July. So I'm stoked. I wish I was in New York with you. I can give you data. The data that I saw, people were running around, you know, partaking in all the amazing artists that were at LC Fest. Singing.
I'm so glad you're even subscribing to this stuff, that you're seeing this. This is very encouraging because you weren't there. Because we all know it's not who is there. It's what you see on the internet.
That's 100% true in 2021. And what I saw, people, you know, it's like typical, you know, festival behavior. It's like that's like my favorite part of performing is like seeing the people in the audience singing the lyrics back to you. And there was a lot of that.
Was nice.
And I'm sure being there, it's like everyone there was like essential. It felt like to me, everyone that was there was a singer.
Yeah. It's a big sing-along. I mean, we have the guys from Marie's Crisis come out and do like a sing-along set in between sets when people are kind of just, you know, changing the guard for each, you know, performer. So they're really at it all day. It's amazing. What can I say? I'm just so that we could be back. It was the first like public gig that I'd had in almost 2 years. I mean, when was the last gig you guys officially played as a band? Because I know you're playing in a couple weeks.
Playing in a couple weeks, but we did that live stream in the UK for Glastonbury.
Yeah, but you didn't have a live audience. Like in the typical way, in the way that Santa Barbara show, which is September, remind me again.
It's September 17th.
That's going to be the first show. Like people in the crowd. Is it vaccination only?
I believe so. I think they're going to be requiring proof of vaccination. Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure that's what's happening. And I don't think masks are necessarily required because it's less than 10,000 people, but I would suggest it's an outdoor venue. I'm cautious. Every time I've gone to an outdoor anything, I've worn my mask. But again,
yeah, me too.
To each his own. When it comes to outdoor stuff, when you're inside, wear a goddamn mask. Get your goddamn vaccinations.
That was cool. That was something that hit me when we went at the beginning of the show at LC. I was just saying, like, by being here, you've been proactively taking your part to support the arts because you're all vaccinated. Like, you could not have come in today if you weren't vaccinated. So this is amazing. Thank you for supporting, you know, each other and us and allowing us to do this. You've empowered us to have the show because you know, got vaccinated. And that, when you think about it that way, you're like, oh, wow. Like that's aside from the obvious, that's another bonus, bonus point. You're literally subsidizing the arts for giving us a venue to share the arts.
That's so important. I mean, I know living in Los Angeles, we don't necessarily feel kind of what was happening with the Broadway community, because it's, I mean, there's, you know, there's live theater in LA, but not to the extent that there is in New York, obviously. So, yeah, I'm sure that that was, I mean, even in, sitting in LA, it's heartbreaking. I love Broadway. I love going to see live shows.
I will say, if I didn't know that the Broadway shows were actually closed, I took a bike ride around Midtown yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Just because I just love biking around in the summertime.
I love it. I love it there. Yeah.
And, you know, it's not as packed as it ordinarily would be during the summer, but it definitely is bustling. You know, people are out and about, and I went to go buy my theater, Circle in the Square, where American Buffalo was happening, because our posters were up the entire time. And it was funny. I keep telling people it's my longest time on Broadway. It's just because they haven't touched them. They just changed them because another play was coming in right before we hopefully, fingers crossed, go back.
Right.
But I was just biking through and going like, man, like, it's crazy that Broadway really isn't just, yeah, of course it's fun. People like going to see shows. It's beyond entertainment. It's just such a massive part of Manhattan's industry. You know, there's obviously tourism and then the restaurants in its immediate vicinity that are subsidized by that, and the amount of, it's a huge part of the economic prosperity of Manhattan. And you just, when you do the math and you take away that thing, you're just like, holy shit, that's a huge number.
I mean, yeah. I feel like we talked about this a little bit on a past episode, but up until maybe the last 10 years, what I thought New York was Midtown.
Right. Yeah, when you're a kid, that's it. Right, that's it. That's where I want to live, under one of those gigantic neon signs.
Yes. But again, like from a tourist perspective, I was like, oh, when you go to New York, you go to see Broadway shows. That was what I thought it was, because that's all my parents wanted to do.
Yeah,
was wait in that ticket line for
TKTS.
Yes. And then we entered every lottery.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Me too. I remember that. Very fun.
Because tickets are expensive.
Man. Yeah. Ain't that a bitch? That's one of those.
But to me, like, that is such an integral part of my childhood, was going to New York. And that was always the intention, was like, oh, we're going to New York and we're going to see a show a day.
Yeah.
Or at least we're going to try.
I'll tell you, man. It's like, I think that's one, I don't know how you feel about, like, I don't spend a lot of money unless it's on like my friends or something special. I just am not a very spendthrifty guy. Son of, like, you know, two finance people, like accountants essentially. And the one thing I remember when I was a kid, when I really started, and when it dawned on me just how expensive Broadway tickets were.
Oh my God.
Which is its own rat's nest. And that's a whole thing.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, it's hard to undo, and we all wish it was different, and blah, blah, blah. And I think a lot of shows do take, you know, better than nothing strides to make things accessible to students,
yes,
et cetera, et cetera. Hamilton really nailed this. They're getting better. And when I was a kid, I was like, you know what, man? When I grow up, I just need to make enough money to where I can just go to a Broadway show and say, whatever you have left.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a large number. And that's, I think, of the goals in my life that I've been able to tick off, That's one I'm really proud of, because when I'm in the city, especially when I'm by myself, I do that. I see 8 shows a week. I'll go every fucking day, because there's always one ticket left. If you're going by yourself, because like, it's, you know, oh, sorry, sir, it's sold out. I'm like, is there anything in the front? Yeah, but for like, you know, $200-something. And I'm like, sure, great.
Oh,
here
my
you go.
God. That's the dream.
And I love it.
That's such a
dream. I'm not here flexing. I'm saying that I reserve those kinds of fuck it expenditures for that.
Right.
Because it's like, I don't mind spending money on culture. It's like, I'll never buy a $250 shirt.
No.
You know?
No.
That's obscene. But definitely on a show.
But I think that you have the agency to do that, Darren. I mean, it's also like your industry, and that's you also like being a patron.
Yeah, it's
of
a
like,
write-off, right?
I mean, it's, you know, I think that like, that's also just you supporting the people within your community. And there's obviously selfish aspects to it. I'm not going to take that away. But it's more about, I mean, come on. Like, if you can go, that was what we tried to do as kids. My parents definitely couldn't afford it. And we were doing the lottery. But for 5 people, sometimes it was really hard.
Oh, when you're doing for that amount of people, that's too much.
It was
like,
too much.
I would never do that for a huge crew. Yeah, if I go with a big crew. It's way cheaper.
So what we would do is we would enter all the lotteries we possibly could. And then my dad would get maybe 2 tickets somewhere and then 3 tickets somewhere else. And so my mom would take like me and Alana, and my dad would take Danielle.
Oh, that's nice.
So we would see separate shows.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you remember your first Broadway show?
Beauty and the Beast.
Dude, get out of here. I think that was mine too.
No way!
Wait, you know what? I'm lying. I think, because I remember the first big trip where I got to, like, God, I was so excited. I feel that feeling of magic. And we've talked about this a few times. Again, because we're from California, New York for us as kids was always the Garden of Eden. And we, I remember that feeling so well. It was the DoubleTree Theater. Walking down, like, oh God, it being so excited. I think it was the three. The lineup was Les Mis was first, then Beauty and the Beast was second, and then Lion King, which at the time was like the pièce de la résistance.
Right.
And we were in the very, 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 very back of the balcony, and I was just so fucking excited. But yeah, so it was number two, actually. But I consider those three my first on-Broadway shows, because that's how we would have been, God, like 10 or 10. 11 like that, something like that.
Yeah, that was the first show that I ever actually saw on Broadway. I had seen, like, obviously, like, seen, like, theater productions, like, in LA and stuff, where my mom would take me to, like, the Mark Taper Forum and stuff. And
yeah, but on Broadway, man.
Different.
It's just, like, so exciting.
Different.
It's so different.
Different. And I remember the Beast. I have this very, very vivid memory of the Beast singing his solo song. I don't even remember how it went, but I had never cried. Yeah, I'd never cried.
At, like, a theatrical.
Yeah, ever. Ever, ever. And I started crying and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, pointing to my eye and looking at my mom and being like, what? What?
Just so moved by the
spectacle. So moved. And I was also stoked because I was like, okay, I actually have emotions. This is a good sign. It's a good sign as a 10-year-old.
If I can't love her.
Do you know the song that I'm talking about? It's like,
I'm assuming it's If I Can't Love Her. That's the big one in the musical, the Broadway musical.
Yes. Maybe.
I would play it for you right now, but I think legal, you know, the Disney bots will take us down.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it's If I Can't Love Her. That's the big ballad.
Yes, it was definitely a ballad. And I just remember crying. And also when I got into Loxa, when I was auditioning for Loxa, one of the questions was, why do you want to come to this school? Or something like that. Like, what was a moment in your life that, like, made you want to do this? And that was the moment that I chose, was I want to be able...
Was hearing...
I was like, I want to be able to do what that guy did for other people. I want to make people feel something. I want to make people feel that intensely from me singing or me acting or me dancing. Like, that's what I want to do.
I mean, this is not at all dissimilar from my story. It's when you live in the echo chamber of your own, like, interviews and stuff, and you know what you've said, and, you know, you go, oh, I've said this a million times. It's like, I always have to remember that even though you've told the story a million times, not everybody else has heard
it.
And my story is the Robin Williams story. Robin Williams was a huge, huge impact in my life. I think I've talked about this on the show. I forget because I've told the story so many places.
The actor that you were friends with. In San Francisco.
Yes, Peter Coyote. That's right. Yes. We talked about Peter Coyote. But with Robin Williams specifically, I mean, I remember having that, you know, book. Gosh, it's funny, just the effect of, like, those Disney movies on our formative years. But, you know, with Aladdin, it was the same thing. Like the way that the genie made people laugh and brought them together.
Yeah.
And without understanding what my brain was chasing, I just really enjoyed the idea that all these strangers in a room were like connected and, you know, enchanted by this thing that just that made the room one that wasn't one before they came into the room. And it was all tied together by this force. And you're like, I want to do that somehow. How do I be like that? And that's pretty much exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
With the beast singing.
It's magic.
If I can't love her. It is magic.
It's like
it
magic.
Is fucking magic. And I remember that show being so good. And at the time, you know, it's like I loved the movie, right? So if you can
yes.
see a live version of like your favorite thing, it's like what a joy. Like, holy shit. And by that point I had listened to I used to buy all the CDs and sit there and listen to like read the liner notes along or the lyrics along with all the songs because
yep.
I knew that there were songs that were in the musical that weren't in the movie.
Yep.
So I wanted to see Human Again, which is a famous cut song from the movie. And I love that song. I did the same thing with Les Mis. By that point, my parents and I, like every road trip, we'd listen to Les Mis over and over and over again. So to finally see it live just was so exciting. And then the final night of our like three Broadway kind of like 1, 2, 3, like super, super trip was Lion King was brand new at the time and it was the hottest ticket in town. And we managed to get like 4 tickets in the very, very, very back. And I like my parents bought me like the expensive, like, you know, like the coffee table book.
Oh yeah.
That I still have. And
aww.
I waited at the stage door and got all the cast members to sign it. And I still have that book, man. That
oh,
musical
my God.
Meant everything to me. It's crazy. I was so fucking excited.
I saw Lion King, but not on Broadway. I saw it at the Pantages.
Oh yeah.
But it was still the Julie Taymor.
You know what's crazy? Because I've had since had, you know, I have friends who have done the show and have been on the tour and everything. And what I didn't realize, because I saw my buddy do it at the Pantages
uh-huh.
however many years ago, it was kind of somewhat recently. What I didn't realize is the theater, I forget what theater it's at, but that theater is built around the show, The Lion King. So there are stage effects and practical effects in the way that Pride Rock like emerges from the stage below.
Right.
It's like the theater is custom built for that show. And this didn't occur to me until I saw it at Pantages, where they have to kind of do different versions where they have to have sort of modular pieces that they can take from town to town. This happened when I did Hedwig. On Hedwig, we had like, I came in from the ceiling on this like rig and we had different like pieces of technology that could happen because it was part of the theater. And then when I go on the road, obviously you can't just like, you know, tech that shit.
Right.
You know, when you move in. So it's different. But you know, it's one of those shows that I would like to go see again on Broadway because it is built unlike any other place. And you know what's crazy, man? Right before the pandemic, Phantom of the Opera turned 30.
Crazy.
I think. And there's a crazy backstory about it. I don't know enough about the logistics, but because it predates a bunch of union rules,
okay,
it's one of the only shows on Broadway that can... I'll have to look it up. I mean, people who are listening to this probably might know it better than me, but basically they can pull shit off that is no longer allowed anymore.
Oh, really?
And because they haven't closed. So they have a certain amount of crew members and they can do all kinds of shit, like just like technologically that you just, it's just not kosher anymore. So if you see it, it is like the only place where you can see, like if it shut down, like, well, not shut down because of the pandemic, but if the show closed.
Right.
And was to have a revival like 3 years from now, they wouldn't be able to do the same shit that they can do there. And Phantom's one of those shows. So in San Francisco, I grew up, there was a mainstay of it in San Francisco. So that was the first time I saw a Broadway show, but not on Broadway.
Right.
I saw that so many times that I never saw it on Broadway. And once Broadway reopens, I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm going to see all the ones that I kind of just assume, you know, because I'm always trying to see the new shit.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to go to a fucking Tuesday night show of Phantom of the Opera. And where this is all going is I had some buddies who went to the 30th like anniversary
uh-huh.
who also hadn't seen it since they were kids. And I don't know, maybe because it's been there a while and because, you know, maybe a lot of tourists go, you don't really think of it as like the premier musical theater shit to see. They came back afterwards. They're like, bro, it's fucking amazing. Like,
I'm sure.
It's incredible.
I'm
like,
sure.
Why have I been writing this off? There's a reason for why it's still alive, why millions of tourists around the world go to see this. It was incredible. And I was like, man,
yeah.
I'm sold. I got to go see Phantom of the fucking Opera again. It's been like more than 20 fucking years since I've seen it.
I'm with you. I mean, I'm like you too. When I go to New York, I think the things that I want to see are the things that have like just opened or the new musicals.
Right, the time, the money. Exactly. Yeah, you gotta like prioritize.
But you know what I would die to see on Broadway? And I feel like some of the Broadway listeners are gonna roll their fucking eyes because it's kind
Chicago?
Of... No.
Okay, because that's in that category too where you're like...
It's like, of because it's course been you so want to see... No, I would... Because my favorite musical, but I've never seen it done live, I've only seen the movie, is A Chorus Line.
First of all, A Chorus Line is one of the greatest musicals ever. Everybody loves Chorus Line. I don't think anybody listening to this would judge you for it. That's not like a dusty, gross... No, I don't even see gross. But in the way that some musicals that you tend to like write off have been around so long that you just... They're just not in your mind to go, you know, as the first thing you see.
Yes.
Especially if you've been to New York a few times before. But Chorus Line, first of all, isn't on Broadway at the moment. So if there was a revival, which there was around 10 years ago, and I saw that revival, it was excellent.
Really?
Yeah. I always run to see Chorus Line. Everybody loves Chorus Line, man. That's like, dude, like in the Chris household, I mean, come on now.
Really?
That's a big one.
Ugh.
Yes, big time.
I would, if anyone listening wants to do a revival on Broadway of A Chorus Line, I will audition.
Who's your part? Who's the one that what's your song? Everybody has their song.
I think At the Ballet is my song.
Oh, what a gorgeous fucking song.
Just the
kills me.
The part, I mean, I don't know if I could sing that high, but
let me see if we have the same if we're going to say the same line, the line that fucking kills me every time I hear it.
Daddy, I'd love to dance.
I would love to.
Yes.
I would love to.
Yes.
I would love to. Anytime I hear that, I just
ball.
It is so
I'm done.
I'm bawling.
I'm done.
It's such
in
a
the
melancholic
movie, when she puts her hands up, she's like, "Daddy, I'd love to dance."
And also because it's a lyric change, the way that it goes is like I was pretty. I was something.
I would love to.
You're like, oh,
I know.
Man.
I know. It's so
cut right
good.
To my core.
That's my one. And I mean, it's like one of the first songs in the show. So after that, I'm like, ugh, I'm like a mess.
It's hit after hit after hit. It's a massive show.
Really starts with a bang. Ugh. I mean, I could talk. I mean, I remember my mom showed me A Chorus Line when I was. She got the VHS from Studio City Rental.
It's interesting that you've only seen the movie, because the movie is, I will say, in Broadway circles, you know, it's not that, let's just say that it doesn't hold a candle to the show.
Really?
Because it's just a little different. I'm not going to criticize it, because I'm a big believer in the idea that, you know, for most people, like you and like we, it's like we can't, not everybody can just go to fucking Broadway shows. Like that's an absurd
yes.
privilege. So
present company included.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, this is, it's hard for us to just go. And even my whole thing about getting to go to any show, like, and just showing up, like that's only when I'm in New York, but it's a very specific scenario. Whereas most people's gateway to Broadway is the movie. I mean, case in point with fucking Beauty and the Beast and like, you know, all these other things. Like I had the recorded media version of it before I could see it in person. Hedwig, my favorite musical that I got to do one day. It's because of the movie. But anyway, back to Chorus Line. The whole point is, yeah, like whether, I mean, I don't think I've even seen it. I think I remember saw a piece of it in college. So I have no opinion of it. I just know that, you know, people will be like, oh, the show is so much better. Just like people always say the book is better. But who fucking cares, right? It's like if it's your gateway to the musical theater, then who fucking cares
it's
how
so
you
good.
Got it, you know?
I think my mom, I think my it was my mom's, one of my mom's favorite musicals when she was like a teen, like in her 20s. Anyway, this all goes to say...
Is this the second time we've talked about Marvin Hamlisch on the show? I forget who we talked
my
about
cousin?
Marvin Hamlisch with.
My possible cousin?
Yeah. Yeah, Heimlich?
Heimlich?
Heimlich. If people don't know who Marvin Hamlisch is, I remember listening to that episode being like, I don't know if everybody knows who Marvin Hamlisch is. Marvin Hamlisch is like one of the OG EGOTs because of, you know, he was a composer. So he obviously was very decorated for Chorus Line. He also wrote Nobody Does It Better from, I think it was Octopussy.
There we go. Octopussy.
Greatest title of a movie ever. Did I get that wrong? Is
Octopussy.
Looking it up.
Miss Moneypenny.
Moneypenny?
Miss Moneypenny.
Moneypenny. Moneypenny. Oh, that's from The Spy Who Loved Me. Never mind. I just wanted to say Octopussy because it's just the
you
silliest
just
name
to
of
be
all
able
time.
To say, I know, such
yeah,
a silly name.
What I was going to say about Chorus Line, it's such an interesting backstory how that story came together, which is a conversation for another time, but it's like fraught with a lot of A lot of sad things.
I know. I watched a documentary about it. That's how obsessed I was with it.
That documentary is pretty, yeah.
Amazing.
That's kind of what I'm referring to.
But yeah, maybe that's the next person that we should get on the pod. I know I say this every time, but someone else who can...
It goes to Marvin Hamlisch?
Or just someone else that, you know, is on Broadway or something, and they can weigh in on whether or not my love for A Chorus Line is basic.
I think if we have a Broadway person, they'll definitely corroborate it. I think it's a widely beloved, just because there's so many good songs. It's a great show. I mean, I don't know a single person that doesn't like Chorus Line. I think it's pretty bulletproof.
Well, I know a lot of people. I remember when I was in high school, the big one, what was his name? The guy that wrote Sunday in the Park with George.
Stephen Sondheim.
Listen, I'm dusting off my knowledge, Darren. I'm dusting off my Broadway.
That was a mean way for me to say that. That was a pretentious way.
That was warranted. That would be like me being like, who's the guy that, you know, wrote 1999? And I would go, Prince.
Prince? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are pretty comparable. Yeah, it's true. They are like the people.
Yes. Yes. Stephen Sondheim, I remember he was kind of the cool composer for Broadway.
Well, because it's really heady shit. It's really intellectual. So if like you like Stephen Sondheim, especially at that age, you're not, you know, subscribing to perhaps maybe the more populist things that, you know, adults might think teenagers would like. That's the time of your life where you're trying desperately to look and sound older.
Got it.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I was going to bring something up. This is a nice little segue before we leave, folks. I was thinking about recently in my life how, you know, okay, so when you're that age, when you're a teenager and you're trying to like assert yourself to be older,
yes,
right? With like things you say, the activities you get to partake in, the thoughts that you subscribe to. For when you're young, you're trying to be older. And
yes.
I think I'm now in the first time in my life where I'm like, I think I'm proactively trying to come off as younger. And I realized
today.
Don't
you love that switch?
Yeah, it's weird. I think every 10 years there's like, and I remember even when I was a kid where I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to start wearing these kinds of shirts now. Or I'm going to wear these kinds of shoes now. And every, you know, I remember the day that my brother started wearing like jeans. Like, you know, every now and then you kind of just have a switch. And it's funny that like the pants, the baggier pants that people wore like 20 years ago are now like back.
Yep.
And I literally just like rocked a pair of like baggier pants. It was also because it was more comfortable. It was hot outside. And I was looking at this and I was like, 5 years ago, if I saw myself in this, I'd be like, what are you doing? But the kaleidoscope turns and I was like, all right, it's on. It's been 10 years since I've really reconsidered my wardrobe. I remember when I started wearing like more tailored pants, being like, this looks great. And now I'm like, okay, I guess Gen Z now has changed what they're just rocking what I did 20 years ago. So, and I walked in the door today going, huh, these are bigger pants. This is cool now, I guess. This is the new next 10 years.
What up, middle school?
Exactly. It was fucking, it's just fucking middle school.
I know.
It's crazy.
But that's what fashion is, right? It's cyclical. It's like every 20 years.
It's totally, yeah, just that pendulum swings right back.
And that's why I'm a hoarder. And that's why I don't get rid of anything. Because I know in 20 years, I'm just going.
You'll wish that you had it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is why I'm a hoarder.
Well, if it doesn't come back, you know when it's going to come back is the second you fucking get rid of it.
Exactly. And you know what, Darren? I don't want to deal with the heartache.
Yeah, you can't deal with it.
I do not. Nope. So I keep it. I hoard it. My mother is the same way. It runs in our family. We are a family of hoarders. We don't get rid of anything. My mother has baby clothes that I used to wear that she will not get rid of.
Okay, well that's another level. And unless babies are
no,
in maybe a couple years become the forefront of
with
fashion.
The intention of my kids will eventually wear them. This is how deep.
I mean, that's actually practical. I'm not gonna lie. Like
yeah.
I can make fun of you, but that's not insane.
No, it's
like,
not.
Why?
It's not.
Why throw them out? And especially because, you know, kids outgrow shit really quickly. So you might as well just have something to put on them for a little bit. I was thinking about like all my band t-shirts that I refuse to get rid of.
Do not get rid of them. Save them.
I can't. I know. Dude, I was at some vintage shop, some like, you know, like hipster. I shouldn't say hipster. It was just like an upscale vintage store. And by upscale, I mean like it was a collector's like vintage place. Not like, oh, this is like secondhand. Like, oh, this is a vintage like t-shirt from this company that is no longer anymore. This is like deep shit that I kind of stumbled into in like somewhere in LA. And there was this Bowie shirt that I thought was so cool. And I didn't know it was like, you know,
authentic.
A high-fluted store until.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like one of like 10 of these like limited prints of like his 1970 whatever tour.
Oh my God.
And I just grabbed it because I thought it was cool. And I looked at the price tag and he like rung it up. He's like, okay, that'll be X number. And I was like, you just said like five numbers. Like, what are you talking
like
about? It's a t-shirt,
three numbers,
man.
More than I thought this was going to cost.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was crazy. But then I realized, oh, it's because some motherfucker saved it.
Yeah.
And Bowie just kept becoming more and more of a legend. Yep. I'm just really hoping that Phantom Planet really becomes something.
Dude. Give it like 10 years.
Resale value.
Give it like 10 years.
No, they're my shirts. I'll never get rid of those.
Okay. So let's wrap this up. You have stuff to do. It's Mia's birthday. Darren, this has been such a nice catch up. You know, this is the thing that I look forward to every week is being able to talk to you.
Well, you know, we did get we'll let our listeners know. They'll be happy to know that Esty and I actually got together in real life.
Finally.
A week or so ago. And I will say it was such a lovely night because it was the most liberated I had felt in years because I had left my phone by accident in the car. I was with some friends and then Mia drove off. I left it in the car. What was nice is when you don't have your phone, it's stressful if people are looking for you and if you don't know what's going on. But I knew I was meeting Esty in like a half hour and Mia knew where I was going. And it was just like the old days where you make a plan and you just got to get there. And so I had the most lovely walk down Ventura Boulevard to meet my friend Esty, where every few steps I didn't look at my phone to see who texted me. If I saw something funny, I couldn't take a picture of it. And I was just free with my thoughts and I could look at the sky and the trees and the buildings. And on that 30-minute walk, I probably came up with like two songs. I had so many ideas because my brain was, you know.
Wait, what? You didn't tell me that at dinner. I'm glad you actually kept that.
Because we have so much. We had so much to catch up on.
So much to unpack. But that's amazing.
I was free from the chains of constant, like.
Yeah, the barrage of
information. Contact barrage. Yes. It's just like it was nothing. It was great.
That's so nice.
That's why I love my walks. Yeah, I would highly recommend people leaving their phones in a place where they know they can get it again. Like just for a day. It's great. It's so nice. That half hour was magical.
I mean, and what a place to walk.
And then we celebrated by. Yeah, we celebrated with a Nutter Butter.
That Nutter Flutter pie. I called it a Nutter
Good
Flutter
Lord.
Pie, and I think our the woman that was helping us was like, it's not what it was called, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that thing was really good. But we got to break bread together, and it was so nice to catch up on all the things that we'll never talk about on this podcast.
I literally could have sat there for another 10 hours.
Me too. I know. Well, this is why we made a podcast.
I know.
Well, there's just a little bit of what's going on in our heads. LC, Broadway, all the other things. We hope you guys are good. I feel like I need to be better about, like, we should answer some questions next time.
Okay.
If you're listening to this, ask us some questions. We'll pick our favorites and we'll start the next episode with, like, answering some things. That sounds fun.
Great.
What do you think?
I love that.
That sounds fun. I feel like there's been a disconnect between our listeners and us because we just, you know, we have to keep this up every week. And then we just have to try and scramble to get the next guest, the next thing going. And I have to get Elsie Fest, and you got to do a record. You got to do all the things.
Darren, that's a great idea. That is a very good
idea. Let's see what's going on with them. And
I'm
promising
books.
Right now, we're gonna get into it next time, guys. In the meantime, take care of each other. Stay inspired. Stay safe.
We love you all.
And, we love you all. Catch you soon. That Thing I Do is a presentation of Cadence 13 Studios.
If you like the show, which I know you do, please be sure to like us, follow us, and leave a glowing review.
Thank you for listening to our show. We'll see you next time.